low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
Okay, so this is your host, Alonso, and today I'm here with Ray, Greg, Laurel, fresh from this year's SES Experience Conference. Ray, let's get started with you. Can you tell me what stood out to you the most at the conference?
Yeah, I have a lot of takeaways, and I know Laurel and Greg do as well. This was the fifth or sixth year that we've attended SES, the Sales Enablement Society, and been a sponsor. But I would say this year more than ever, just the spirit of the group, the community, and collaboration that went on was absolutely fantastic, especially in a challenging time. Sales teams are under more pressure and doing more with less. And we actually talked to some folks who are in job transition. But I think overall, the supportive nature of just that audience and everybody sharing best practices, working with each other, really made it come to life for me. The other thing I think is really noteworthy is really the rebranding of SES, so Sales Enablement Society, to the Revenue Enablement Society, RES. And that was announced at the show. But to me, really speaks to just how critical that function is, that it's not just about the sales team or sales training or sales tech. It's really about the whole revenue optimization process. And especially these days, bringing in RevOps and RevTech, we need to look at all of those components as a way to optimize the sales team and optimize revenue. So I thought that was interesting, as well as the discussions and presentations along those themes. So I have other things as well, but I'd love to get the thoughts from the others.
Yeah, I'll be sure to ask you a couple more questions so you guys can expand a little more. Greg, you have anything you want to add briefly about anything that especially stood out about the conference without getting into all the sessions and everything yet?
Sure. Yeah, overall, I would echo what Ray said. The energy at the conference was really fun to be a part of. I think everyone's just happy to be back in person, and lots of hugs and cheering at the in the sessions. And the party, of course, was a blast. We were really glad to be able to sponsor that. Again, don't want to repeat too much of what Ray said, but I think the switch from SES to RES really reflects the evolution of the industry. And we're not just enabling the sales team, we're enabling the whole revenue organization.
What about you, Laura? Go ahead.
No, yeah. So I agree with what Ray said, that enablement really is at a bit of an inflection point. And so is our whole economy and sales organizations. And things are tough this year. But what comes out of that in the enablement community is just a kind of coming closer together and finding ways to support each other and share best practices in a way that is stronger than I've ever seen before. And so I think because of the struggles that sales organizations are facing, enablement is actually more needed now than ever, whether leaders recognize that or not. So it just might need to show up in a different way.
Okay. Now I'm going to go back to Greg for the next question. And then again, you can feel free to join if you have anything you want to add to that. But if you don't, that's fine. We can move to the next one. I have plenty of questions for everybody to share your input. Hey, Greg, were there any topics that clicked with you, especially, and why?
Yeah, I had several sessions that I really enjoyed. One that comes to mind, just for its simplicity, was with Phil Putnam. He had a session on employee motivation. How do you tie your initiative to what your team cares about? And he had a really simple statement just defining the enablement function as: we create and sustain behavior change. And that's probably the simplest way I've heard it defined. I think we enablers have a hard time defining exactly what we do. But whether it's better selling skills, changing a process, learning a new tool, one way or another, we're changing behavior across the revenue organization.
Any other topics you would like to add to that, Ray?
No, I'll build on that, because that definitely resonated, the motivation and the behavior change, and that you have to have motivation to create behavior change. The other thing that really resonated with me was the focus on kind of the change management aspect. and thinking of this more as a large scale org change than just training or just process or just a playbook. And we've been saying for years that this isn't about training sales teams. This is really about helping them change their behaviors, which requires everything from the executive sponsorship, great communication plan, having the awareness and the knowledge, and then being able to actually affect that change and support and follow it up. So I think to me, that really resonated in the focus several sessions on this is really about change management. And that's actually where I started my consulting career at Accenture. So it was near and dear to my heart, but really good to see that reinforcement across multiple sessions.
Laurel, was there anything that you came across that you would say was surprising or new?
Yeah, I can speak to one of the sessions that I went to, and I went to it because it was out of my comfort zone, and it really blew my mind. It was with TD and Mike from Stripe, and they're really low-code automation whizzes, and so they've brought that kind of specific lens to their enablement work within their company, and so they were sharing tips and tricks of how to automate a bunch of processes and kind of things that enablement professionals end up spending way too much time on, like pulling course reports and kind of those reporting processes and how to make them more efficient. And I really want to start playing around with that now. So that was kind of a fun one.
Ray, one of the themes of the conference was like the evolving sales enablement landscape. How did the conference show the changing world of sales enablement, especially about digital and data strategies? Was there anything that comes to mind around that?
Yeah, I'd say really two themes that I took away. And one is not that new necessarily, but continued reinforcement is just on making sure we're tying sales enablement and revenue enablement initiatives to business outcomes. So in other words, asking those why questions, why are we doing this? Why is it going to produce the results? And I guess what is it? What are we looking to accomplish and how are we going to measure it? Which is something we talk about in all of our training programs, but really nice to start with the end in mind. And I think we need to be able to show that to a chief revenue officer or VP of sales. This is why we need to make this change. So that was one of the critical ones. The other, which probably will not be surprising to you or any of you, is just how artificial intelligence is really going to reshape the landscape. And number of different themes about how that's occurring, both for the sales team and selling skills and some of the standard applications, but even in the use of sales enablement. And I sat in on one of the sessions that actually crowdsourced applications for AI across sales enablement. And I think it was really enlightening to see how people are using it in their role plays, in their scripting, in the way that they're designing their programs and testing them out, and especially in onboarding. How can we use that to shorten the ramp-up time for reps and make them more productive without adding additional resources? So really some fantastic use for generative AI and the tools and applications coming out. And that's going to just continue to explode.
Greg, around the idea of engaging modern buyers and enabling sales remotely, did you hear any fresh ideas while you were there?
I'm going to pass on that one because I don't think I did. If it's all right, I'm going to go back to one other session and you can maybe give that question to someone else if they want. But I did not attend any sessions that stuck out on that. One of the ones that I did really was Whitney Seek had a session on building champions out of your sales leaders across the organization and really making strong partnerships with them. So she had some really interesting frameworks on how to involve sales leaders before, during, and after a change initiative. And it was just some really practical takeaways. She and I are actually going to continue the conversation on that topic in a virtual session with Enablement on Tap later this month. So it was really great to get a primer on that topic, and we'll continue talking about that later this month.
Was there a keynote speaker who made a big impression on you?
There were a couple. I can speak about Raina. I just thought hers was all about how to create a positive partnership with your executive. There's Solomon. But yeah, how enablers can elevate their voices and really align with key executives within the company and speak their language. And she actually brought in three executives and sales leaders from major companies, and they got to speak about what enablement means to them and how they like to align with their enablement leaders. And I just found that really insightful. And I think we should do more of that in this kind of space, is bring those voices in so that we can make sure that we're doing everything we can to align with them.
What about you, Ray and Greg? Any other keynote speakers that you want to bring up? You did bring Whitney already, Greg. So it looks like that was one of your favorite sessions. Ray, anybody comes to mind that you would like to give a shout out with a full name?
Yeah, I think one that really stuck out, it wasn't in a keynote, but it was one of the sessions I attended, and it was Siobhan Thatcher's kind of summary as we're working with our revenue leaders. And she had five questions that really stuck with me, and they're ones I'll take away. We probably asked these things, but maybe not as succinctly. But what she was suggesting as revenue enablement practitioners, we should all be asking these questions when we get the next request, which is something along the lines of, how will this impact our productivity or our retention? Again, how is this tied to a business level initiative? How are we going to measure the outcome of that? What do we want the sellers to do differently? Which is something we often ask of our training clients, which is at the end of the day, what do you expect them to do? How are they going to behave? And what are they really looking for? Where is the priority on this initiative compared to the other things that they've likely been asked to do? So how do you want me to prioritize this? And then when do you need it? And I thought that was just a really nice way of boiling down the charter, if you will, or the input. And that oftentimes you ask those questions and the revenue leader comes back and says, well, you're right, it's not as important as X, Y, and Z, or we'll look at that next quarter. Because I think one of the common themes, and I'm sure we all heard it, is sales enablers are overtaxed and typically under-resourced. And so there's no lack of new initiatives to take on, but which one are you going to prioritize? And I think by asking those questions, it's a fantastic way to help prioritize that and put a finer point on where you're going to spend your resources.
And I'll add on that, I think it also creates more respect for the profession when there's a little bit of that professional pushback. If enablement folks are always saying yes to everything, then they're not necessarily going to gain the respect they deserve.
Hey, Greg, how after everything you heard while you were there from all the different talks, and thanks to you, Ray and Laurel, where do you think sales enablement is heading based on all these talks? What does the future look like?
One of my main takeaways for where sales enablement is heading is to revenue enablement scope and elevating the strategic nature of the function. There's the concept of enablement maturity. And I know that Whitney Seek and her team at Demandbase have some really good models that they're creating around that. But if we're looking at sales enablement historically from a reactive tactical function, it is on the trajectory towards becoming more proactive, more strategic, and having a broader impact across the whole revenue org. So that's a big theme. And that's something that Gail Bean talked about in her session on the rise and fall and reset of sales enablement.
I think that's a wrap.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.